Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come this afternoon and meditate in your word. Father, thank you for a chance to be here, Lord, in front of the church, Lord, to speak from thy word. I pray that you bless this moment. Let me to be a blessing and use me in the way that you see it fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. How many of you have read that book already, Strategically Smart? Then we're done. See you next week. Okay. How many of you were here last Sunday afternoon? For those who are not here, I'll really encourage you to listen to Brother Caesar's. You'll get a blessing out of it. He did a wonderful job. And me and Chris were looking at each other. We said, well, he raised the bar. We almost run for the cover now. But no, joke aside, if you didn't hear Brother Caesar, I would encourage you to listen to what he preached last Sunday. It was really a blessing. Going through this, the Strategically Small Church, while I was reading this book, a couple of things happened. At work, I work for a software company. And we're hiring people. Some people, I send an email to a couple of people in church. If you are a software engineer, we're looking some. And then a week later, we have a massive layoff. 1,400 people lost their job. 60% North America, which, and 40% the rest of the world. And the new CEO came in. Now the message has changed because we want to grow the company. You know, that's the buzzword. We got to grow the company. We got to get bigger. But now the new buzzword, we got to go lean. I was like, wait a minute. We opened Century. We came down. A company drew down, you know, cut down. We have 81 RD center. Now we're down to 40. We're like, well, we can't fly. We're too heavy. The message is like, okay, we got to go on diet and we got to go lean. So that we can stay competitive. I was like, wow, what a... Before it was big is better, and big is good, but now, even the corporate America, they're going like, no, we need to get on diet. So I was like, what? That's really, it's like what I'm reading in that book, so the company's going on diet. The Kent was like, we're too heavy, we can't fly. The overhead cost is so huge. And we got to cut it down. We got to trim it down. And you just got to pick up the slide. Okay, so that was really getting me thinking while I was reading this book. I said, what a timing. What I'm reading about is strategic and small church. Big was better. But now it's like, no. Down pretty much half the size of the church. So, and while I was going through this, I got to think. I was like, okay, what is really, I was getting a blessing out of it. First thing I wanted to talk or discuss with you guys was like, what is the church? Because mainly we talk about the church, we got to define the term by what we mean by church. Because the church has taken cue from Wall Street, the strategy, you know, how to grow the ministry. But if we don't know first what is the church, we can be talking for hours or spend time without knowing exactly what we're talking about. So, I'm not going to bore you with the long definition of a church, but I'm going to put it a little, I'm going to just bring it down very small. So, the church comes from the word ekklesia, which is the Greek, and it just means assembly of the called out, people who are called by God to form an assembly. That's what the church. I'm not going to go through a lengthy, pastor can do a better job to talk about that. But I figure out that since we're talking about a strategically small church, we got to know what we're talking about first. Because otherwise, we can talk about a club. We can talk about a corporation. We can talk about other things without really knowing what we're talking about and thinking that, well, we've been in church. But church is a group or assembly of believers who are called by God to worship together. So that's the premises, that's the base from which I'm going to go with what I learned from that book. So when we talk about the church, the first thing I came to my mind was reading that book, I was like, let's go back. Let's go back how it began. And Jesus gave the instruction to Peter, but I'm not going to go that far in Matthew. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2. What's happening in Acts chapter 2? So, if you got your Bible, since I wanted to make it a little bit more challenging or interactive, I'm going to be pointing some people to read because the PM service sometimes can be challenging. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Okay, Matt, can you read us verse 5?
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
Okay. So here we're on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible tells us that people came from all over. Jews came from all over. And keep in mind, we're talking about a small church. You're going to say, where are you going with that? Because here there was a lot of people. But keep in mind that those people came from different nations. And they don't live in Jerusalem. They came to worship, and they didn't need to dwell there. And so all these people, they came, and they were just there for a purpose. And the purpose was to worship God. And at the end, what's happened, each one has to go back. So even though the church is bigger at the beginning, but you're going to see the trend here at Acts, that people came from different parts of the world. They came to worship. And when the church started, all these believers, they took the church with them. And they went to start other churches. So, I'm going to read verse 6. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So that's something that really touched me, because when we're talking about a strategic small church, was the main thing or the focus was about local, intimate, and worshiping together at a local level where people become intimate. So, we got to shift our mind, because we're coming from a different paradigm shift, and it's not easy. Transition time is not going to be an easy one, because we are kind of used to know or used to do things in one way, but now when we're talking about the small church, we're going to shift our thinking to see what's happening here. So, here, when all this came together, one thing that really interested me, that they were able to talk, to listen, everyone in his own language. And there is no better way or better place than in a small group where people really can feel, or can hear, or can be able to communicate one to another. And one thing that I wanted to mention at the beginning, the big church is not the enemy. Because I was like, oh, since we're talking about small church, sometimes we got a tendency to switch to the other side. Big is not the enemy. But big, the philosophy of big church came pretty much, was like, big is better. But out there, even the marketplace, big is no longer better. Because big is heavy and big is costly. So people are, the thinking is shifting. So the big church, or the big is not the enemy, but we want to focus on the blessing that God has given to us with our size. Let me ask you, how many of you still have laptop? Laptop computer? How many of you don't use your laptop anymore because you got an iPhone? It's very portable. It's like, why do you need a laptop if you got an iPhone 5, right? Because you have it everywhere. You can listen. I was even amazed, a couple months ago, the service after the kids sang here was already on YouTube at the end of the service. It's like, whoa. I think Sam was the one who posted. It's portable, easy, convenient. You don't need a floppy disk or CD. You can go with your portable and easy to use. So, First thing that I want to, the big church is not the enemy, but we got to use what we have in our strength. I like the example of iPod or iPhone because pretty much there are people, they don't use laptop anymore. And I'm still using my laptop anyway, so I'm behind. And I'm not going to give it up soon. So, but if you got to do some stuff like treatment of text, I don't think you can put a CD drive on your iPhone. We are not there yet. We might get there with a USB port later on. But for now, you might go back or borrow somebody else to use those functions or those features that your phone does not have. But your phone, for those who have an iPhone, it's pretty much you got everything. It's cheaper than a laptop. And you got a benefit to have it. It's portable. You can take it everywhere you go, and you can do a lot of stuff with that. That's kind of the things that I want you to keep in mind when we're talking about small church. So small is not less of a church, because sometimes we go like, well, we regret all the program and ministry that we used to have. Yeah, some of the things are changing, but the basic things that we need to stay focused are what we are and where we want to specialize. We're going to get into that. So here, the main thing that my point here is they were able to hear everybody in his own language. So they were able to communicate in their own language. So when we're in a small group, Pastor was sharing with us, yesterday, I think when we were in prayer here, I don't want to call people names because I didn't ask them. But some people are talking about now Wednesday night. How Wednesday night is changing things for them. Because now they're feeling connected to the people you worship with. Which is not easy on a big church. Or, you know, because of the size. Because everybody, you feel, you sit with people, maybe the only thing you know about them is the first name. Besides that, you don't know anything about them. But in a smaller setting, you feel a little bit more closer to those people. You are able to share with them some of the stuff maybe you're not going to feel comfortable sharing with them in a big setting. So, small, it's not less of a church. We are a church, like I gave my example of the iPhone. It's a really machine that gives you pretty much all the function. But in that machine, so many people don't use just, you know, text, phone, call, and maybe camera. That's it. But you got a lot of stuff in it that if you got to use all of them, maybe it's a full-time job. If you got to figure out, I don't know, is anybody here who has figured out all the feature of his iPod? Maybe Chris, except Chris, maybe. And who has a full-time job, and who has a family? Anybody has figured out all the features of your iPhone 5? I'm not talking about a single. Sorry, Amy. You might have all the time. But I'm talking about full-time parent, full-time job. Anybody has figured out all the features of his phone? iPhone 5? It's loaded, but you can't, because if you got to do it, then it's like a full-time job. But you figure out, well, I need the phone for what? Call, text, maybe camera, and maybe one or two other things. But that's not the whole thing that you have. In that phone, you got more than that. But you limit it based on what? Your time. Because if you get into that, one thing that I don't like to get into in Facebook, because I'm like, I'm going to get lost out there. I don't go there. The reason I even signed Facebook was Pastor posting stuff there. I was like, okay, I got to go look at it. Because I'm like, you get there, then it's a full-time job. But you focus on what you want to do with that. Because otherwise, it's a full-time job. And you are not going to accomplish things that are very important if you're spending your time trying to figure out all the features and apps of your iPhone. There's no way you can do it, but you make use of it based on your need. So that's what we're trying to do now, going small. We are not saying that, well, we are not going to win soul or we are not going to expand, but we're going to use the resource that God has given to us. So the next thing that I want to bring up tonight is Big, first thing, big is not the enemy. Small is not less of a church. And the third thing that I want to emphasize here is, what are we trying to accomplish when we talk about a church? What is really the purpose of a church? Because if we lose sight of what is the purpose of the church, then anything can go, anything goes in. But if we know what is the focus, one thing that I experienced at work, my work is very unstructured. I do troubleshooting for software company. I can come in the morning, my queue, maybe I got 5 problems. By the end of the day, severity one can come. Pretty much I got to drop whatever I was doing to focus on that one. At the end of the day, I might end up with 14 problems, stressed out, exhausted. I like it because I'm very unpredictable. My day, it's not, you know. But one thing, my boss has been pressing, said, you got to do some training. And for that training, I was like, I'll do it. But never done it. Because my workload is so that I don't have time to do it. I got to purposely set time aside, pretty much shut my ear. I don't want to hear any customer problem. I'm now on training mode. Otherwise, I got a good intention. I really want to do it, but it never happened. Same thing, the company gave us a lot of facilities, gym. I was like, you know what? I have no time for gym. But I just train myself 11:45, sign for some class. Otherwise, I'm not going to accomplish it. So that's what's happening with the church. As a small church, if we don't discipline ourselves, if we don't set goal ourselves, we're going to do a lot of things. And we're going to wear ourselves down, but at the end, sometimes we don't have anything to show up. Because we've been chasing so many things at the same time. But if we discipline ourselves, focus on what we want to accomplish, then we'll be really a blessing to be a small church. So the main purpose here was, what are we trying to accomplish? As we talk about a church, we come together as a body of believers for the purpose of worshiping God. I like how a pastor put it. It's not about you or about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we stay focused on that, we'll be able to accomplish more with the resources that God has given to us. Otherwise, we can run crazy and pretty much use our resources and without producing anything valuable to God. And when I say the purpose is to worship God, one of the things that we got to remember, when we come together, we're trying to build believers. So when we're building believers, or like the expression Paul uses, spiritual formation, Paul is talking about, to my dear children, I want Christ to be formed in you. But how are we going to accomplish that? That's one of the main purposes of a church. Because if we don't have that, if we don't master that, we can do a lot of programs, we can do a lot of stuff, but we will not have mature Christian. And without mature Christian, we can do so many things, but at the end, the result is going to be, you won't believe what Christians are doing, because at the end, when you look at what they do, you go like, is this really a Christian thing to do? So, let's move on to Acts chapter. We're still in Acts chapter 2. I want to go to verse 42. Talking about what is the purpose of the church, building believers, so that they can be able, when they leave the church, they're taking the church with them. And start small group or small churches. But if we try to do all the things at the same place, it's going to be a little bit challenging. I'm still in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It said, and they continue steadfastly in the Apostles' Creed and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. How many of you remember the goal that Pastor has been hammering for us to become as a church? Anybody remember those three? I'll give you a clue. We got three of them. Anybody? Praying church. Yes. Voracious appetite for the Word of God. And the third one? Father Carlo? Loving the brother, caring for the brother. And if we look at this verse 42, That pretty much sums it up. This is the first church established, and look at how this church, and the verse we read said that they continued. Folks, it's easy to begin then. I know we're facing a challenge maybe many of us never faced before. Pretty much every month you hear maybe somebody leave the church. It's like, okay, again, what's happening? You go, Lord, I hope maybe this is the last one. No, the Lord never tell us how long it's going to be. Folks, this is something that we got to learn. It's a blessing to have brothers and sisters, but never the Lord has told us that this trial or this transition is going to take 2 months or 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. No. But one guarantee we have that He's going to walk, He's walking along with us. And the apostle here, the first church, one of the things that they said, they continued. I want you to get that. So they started. But even when things get rough, they continued. So this is talking about perseverance, because sometimes we think, I'm sorry, in America we have it so much easier. It's nowadays Christianity, it's so easy, we got our right. You can go fight in the court for your right to pray in the public school. And when things like this happen, you don't know what the Lord is doing. My prayer was like, Lord, if you do ask me, I said, I want a happy day Christianity too. I do. I don't want to suffer. I don't know. Anybody who likes to suffer back home, we used to call them artists. I was like, you crazy. Because it's like, who likes to suffer? Because that's the natural tendency. I don't like suffering. I want a bigger account. I want a bigger house. I want everything big. But that's not always true. That's my aspiration. That's my desire. But the Lord never promised that it's going to be easy. Whatever the Lord is doing, He has the timing. We don't have the timing. It's going to be painful. Someday you can be down, I'm up. Someday I can be down, you are up. And we encourage each other. Or I just get an encouragement to see you that you're still persevering even though we're facing difficult times. So, the first church, they did not have it easy. But one thing that they did, they persevered. And not only in the temple, but at the end of this chapter, they were breaking bread in houses. So, that tells me it's a small group. You can't bring the whole church in one house. So, they said one thing, and this is one thing that I want us really to grasp. That three things. How we going to have Christ Jesus form in us? Three things. And this is what they were doing. They were persevering in the doctrine of the apostle. You talk about doctrine, you talk about the word of God. Amen. That's what it is. And we've been praying and we've been begging God to give us an appetite for, not only appetite, but voracious appetite. You know what voracious means? I can't wait. It's like a dog. You're holding a dog on a leash, and he's ready to do what? And you take the leash, he's going to go what? Bang! He's going to zoom. That's really what we need. I don't know if anybody can say that he's there, but I'm praying that God will give me that. Because when we have a voracious appetite for the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to do its work in us, the Bible said that His word never returned void. Whether preach or whether when we meditate in that word, the word of God ministered to us. So that's one of the purposes of the church. So the church is to build believers. So when we live here, we're taking the church with us. We're taking the church to home. We're taking the church to work so that we can be able to start our ministry through the local church that God has given to us here. Things that we can't do here, but we can take with us in small group. So the second thing that is they did, not only that they persevere in the doctrine of the apostle, but also they did what? And fellowship and breaking bread. I know, folks, this is not an easy thing. This is not an easy thing, caring for one another. Sometimes you ask yourself, how far can I go? When I came here the first time, I was like, when I heard about unspoken, I was like, this is ridiculous. You're standing out, I got a prayer request, unspoken. I'm like, that's an oxymoron. You telling people, pray for me, but I can't tell you what to pray about. Took me a while really to grasp what the unspoken meant, because I was like, okay, I cannot tell you tonight, well, I beat my wife this morning, pray for me. It's going to be embarrassing, right? So that's why I started understanding. I said, okay, not everything is not to take to the public. I really want to share something maybe with you, but I can't say it publicly. Or I want to pray for Brother Carlo. I say, oh, Brother Carlo is bugging me. Or Chuck, let's say, I want to for Chuck. Because Chuck is not a deacon, and he doesn't have a credential to write on the whiteboard. I told Chuck, I said, before you write the board, on the board, whiteboard, you got to have a deacon credential. So if you don't have it, please. And I have one, and I got my coupon as deacon too. So when we talk about unspoken, I was like, okay, so I'm talking about how close can you come? How can you open up to others? That's what I was talking about, the unspoken. I was like, okay, not everything is good to bring to the public. Or you cannot say, well, you know, I'm pray for this brother so-and-so because he need really, you know, X, Z, Y. That's not being spiritual. But at the same time, you see, when we come together, we care for one another. And it's becoming easier when we do it in a small setting than in the bigger setting. You can feel more comfortable sharing whatever you have with a small group of people than the bigger place. And this is a model, this is an example that the early church set up, that in small thing that they were able to do things that they couldn't accomplish in a bigger setting. So, and the last thing here was what? Prayer. I heard a preacher this week talking about it, said, well, if you don't know how to pray, how do you learn to pray? Pastor mentioned that. How do you learn how to play basketball or soccer? Practice. Get a soccer ball. You don't know how to pray? How do you do that? Pray. It's not, you don't need a complication on that. I don't know how to pray. Then pray. That's how you're going to learn how to pray. When I came here and I went to work, I went to do my physical. They requested us to do physical one time, and I made a mistake of bringing my wife to the physical. I used to love salt to death. Anything you cook, I got to add salt. And my wife, being a nurse, she was like, this is not good. I was like, I can't eat without salt. I can't eat. So I made a mistake one time. I went to physical. I brought her with me. And the doctor did my blood pressure. I was like, not bad, but you're on a borderline. I was like, ouch. So you don't need any medication, but things you got to watch, salt, coke, caffeine, all this other stuff. I was like, really? Since I was born, I never eat without salt, adding salt. So I pretty much got to start training myself not to, you know, go without salt. And went back to work. I was like, how do I do that? How can I accomplish? I was like, okay, I got to go start getting in the gym. Actually, that was reason number one, number two. Number one was really, Pastor said he's a member of NRA, and he has a gun with because he got two daughters. And I got two daughters. I was like, okay, he's going to the gym. I better start going to the gym. Because I'm not a member of NRA yet. So I was like, at least the gym, I can start on the gym and start bench pressing. If any boy crosses my yard, I can be ready to deal with it. So, but the first time I get to the gym, I was pretty much scared to death. Because I was intimidated by the equipment. I was like, whoa. You see somebody there bench pressing 225, you go like, no, I'm staying on the treadmill. I really did. I really did stay on a treadmill. But since I was a regular, our fitness director noticed me, came back. He said, you know what? I see you come every day. You know, you can get a better result over there than here. I was like, really? I was like, do you mind if I show you how to do it? I'm talking about a prayer. So I was like, okay. And we went to the other area, heavy equipment. And he told me one thing. He said, don't follow anybody. Don't follow anybody. Set your own goal. Even if you're going to take the 5 pounds, okay? You can see lady benching, you know, 250. Don't worry. Just take your 5. Do with your 5, okay? Do your 5 pounds. And when it's coming boring, then you challenge yourself to the next level. And I've been doing this for over almost now 10 years. Now I'm not intimidated because I still remember the first day I walked in that gym. I was like, oh man, is even lady doing this? I can't do. But he told me, go incrementally. Don't try to copy anybody. Be yourself. Be authentic. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just set your goal, start even 5. You do it, when it's become boring, it's time to take the next level, to challenge yourself. And I can't believe, you know, I can't believe how far I came. Because I took it one step. And just challenging myself, and same thing. How to pray? You just pray. Pastor has been handing out a lot of help material that can be useful. Because sometimes you're going to go, oh, brother so-and-so pray 3 hours a day. It's, let's say, brother Carl. You are not Carl, okay? Your name maybe is Bob, okay? That's brother Carlo. If you want to talk to Carlo, he might tell you that he started 2 minutes before he can get to 3 hours. But for him to get there, he went by small step. So as a small church, if we are authentic, we are staying focused on these three things. At the end of this chapter, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily. They did what they were required to do. They persevered in the Apostles' Creed, that's the Word of God. And they have concern or they care for one another. And at the end, they have time for prayer. Folks, there is no better things. Well, you can break this down to come with 9, 12, whatever number. But these are the major points. Voracious appetite for the Word of God. I know we live in a fast society. When I came here, my first month, because when I was in Greece, I went to school, learn English, but never been in the U.S. Never even thinking I'll come to the U.S. one day. But when I get here, one of my friends told me, said, you know what? Back home, you could speak broken English because we don't speak English. You got excuses, okay? You can speak Franglais. We were joking, it's a mixture of French and English. So he said, Franglais, said, but now you are in the U.S., you have no excuses. You got to speak English, not Franglais. I was like, ah. Oh. And everywhere I went, I have voracious appetite for the English language. I said, I want to speak like America, the way they roll those things. I was like, ah, I just want to speak like an American. And I went to school, and I found I was passing by, there was a lab, language lab. They find how to reduce your accent. I was like, praise God, I got it. Went register for that class. And I went to the class, and guess what? The first lesson in that class, according to study made, after the age of 13, you cannot get rid of your accent. Oh! for $1,000, I got to pay for this. I can't drop anymore. But there was at least some good news for me. But with your accent, your foreign accent, you still can speak perfect English. I was like, what? They said, well, good example, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Like, really? Speak with a thick German accent, but deep, perfect English. Like, really? It's like, oh, I can't get rid of my accent, but if I still apply myself to it, I can speak better English. Well, my daughter never, my oldest daughter didn't know, because what, 6 or 7, you know, after she was 7 or 8, one day she told me, she said, just like, she woke up and was like, wait a minute, Daddy, do you have a foreign accent? I said, what is that? I said, well, it's like a funny accent. Somebody was not born here. I said, for all those years, so it never really clicked. She got her best moment telling me, I said, oh, really? I was like, yeah, you guys speak a little bit funny. Okay, like you. I said, well, you're hurting my feeling now. So, what is the point I'm trying to make, folks? My point is this. We are blessed by God. This is a church. We don't know where the Lord is taking us. But if we stay faithful to the core, which is the Word of God, prayer, and care for one another. Folks, nobody can preach you to care for one another. You can't preach it. Well, you can try, but it won't work. It's the work of God in the midst of us. Without these three things, you don't have a church. You can have an assembly, you can have a group of people meeting somewhere in a building, but I don't think you can call it church. Well, you are free. America is a free society. You can call it a church or whatever. But you're looking for a biblical definition of a church, you're not going to have it. But if we stay focused on those three things, nobody's going to push you to go soul winning. It's going to come. Because when you see what God is doing, nobody's going to scorn you to do it. Nobody's going to beg you to come to the prayer meeting. And nobody's going to beg you to do anything for anybody. But the work of God in the midst of us is going to accomplish a lot. So, it's really up to us. How long it's going to be, we don't know. Are we now against, we don't want to grow this church? No, that's not the point. Look at, we got so many pews. My prayer is that each pew, because this is the resource that God gave us. Each pew. We need to fill this. But at the same time, if we stay true to the core of the gospel, then we can have a church. How long it's going to take? Most of the time I read my Bible, the Lord never gave a time frame. Never. But since we live in America, we want the fastest thing, not today, even yesterday. That's sometimes the challenge we got to face. I want the fastest car. I can't afford it, but I want, if I have a chance, I'll get one. I want the fastest internet at home, but I can't afford it. If I can, I will. But we want things so bad. We want, sometimes you just got to go stop. And go back to the basic. I like to use my work example again. We got to cover the basics. The basic in my line of work, you got to know what was working, what changed, so you can be able to figure out where the problems stay, where the problems coming from. But I'm in a company now for 12 years. Sometimes you feel like basic, it's not my level anymore. That's the biggest mistake you make. It's always when you cover the basics. When we feel like we got to outgrow our basics, which is what? Word of God, prayer, and care for one another. When we feel that we got to outgrow that, then we're going to create something else. Can be successful because we are so bombarded with success. But, like I said at the beginning, you got to define the term. What is success? Is success numbers? There's nothing wrong with numbers. But if that's the goal, then we better all pack and go to Rome because they got the numbers. Rome has the number, whether you like it or not. Rome has the number. So if success is number, we'll be better off. Go to Rome. They got the numbers. But if we know what the Lord defined by success, and Paul talked that, my little children, I travail in pain that Christ might be formed in you. If the Lord Jesus is formed in me, and the Lord Jesus is formed in you, you're going to see what the Lord can is going to do. It's not that He's not being formed, but if we let Him form, be formed in us. And how He's going to do it? Ferocious appetite for the Word of God. Prayer and care for one another. And I've been here for what? 16 years. And you know why I'm here? Empowering lead men leadership. That's one of the things that we're learning. Because we're shifting. God forbid if preachers got to get now a regular job out in the market, he can't be doing what he's been doing because he's going to kill himself soon. But the Lord has blessed us with so many talents, so many gifts that we can use. And if we trust Him, small is not less. Amen.